Now that I think of it, I wish I'd gotten one of those school bus radios we had. I think it was programmed in the 150s, but it had the capable. It was programmable, so it would have been a good 2-meter radio. I do know in the old days we did use CB, just like if we were taking several buses on a field trip or to a football game. We had the band loaded up or what have you, and it took two or three buses. You know, we use CBs to make sure the back bus didn't miss the turn after the first two, you know, got behind. Because usually, always the bus that was at the behind was the one that was governed for 55, while mine was wide open, and I had to keep backing off. But, you know, inevitably, sometimes we had to stop for fuel, and we get separated. So CB did help if you were within a mile or so of each other. And that helped out to in a convoy situation.
Oh, that horrible song from the 1970s. Who was it who did that? It was useful for some things. And actually, it still is useful. The long-haul truckers still use Channel 19 for something. It's a good way to pick up information about, you know, what might be ahead on the road as far as, you know, police traps, speed enforcement traps, road hazards. Actually, either one of those two things I could call a road hazard, you know, that sort of thing.
When the bear would get on the radio and pretend to be a trucker and say, "It's all clear, come on, put it, lay it down." So that was the ultimate speed trap. But I think what ruined that was there was always some AHAT that was running a linear that was flattering on all channels. And it was in Ohio. And, you know, nobody could get it. He would just go on longer rants than I do of total, complete nonsense. You probably remember that from the days. But, I mean, I think the one guy bucking for a promotion did go after him, and because it was so egregious, it was making Citizens Band Radio completely unusable on all frequencies. Now, saying Citizen Band, that being said, I had a chance to get a sideband model, one of the betters was a Cobra 49, or maybe it was a 19. It had nothing to do with the channels. It was a model number. And a guy had it on Facebook Messenger or Marketplace for like $40. And apparently somebody was watching because it got gone before the ink was dry. But it was a good deal. And he only wanted $20 for it. Excuse me. Heck, I was sitting on 40. Heck, I went out there and took myself out to dinner, you know, in addition, and paid for the gas to go get that one. But it was gone.
I was never that interested in CB generally. I've got a Galaxy 949 or 959. Is that a thing? 949, which is, you know, reasonably good single sideband rig. Galaxy was supposed to be one of the better ones.
And his may have been a Galaxy. And now that I think about it, I don't think it was a Cobra. It was a Galaxy. Cobra's still got one that's under $150. Man, I would enjoy having it, but you better hang on to that because there is some things happening on sideband. Not looking a gift horse in the mouth, but G. Minetti, man, hang on to that because if it gets into the, you know, the proverbial, you know, what hits the fans scenario, we might have to rely on sideband communications. I'm not being conspiratorial or apocalyptic, just, hey, it's a crazy world. You know, we got half a million people waiting to bum rush the border, and eventually some of them are going to wind up here and they're going to be cold and hungry and, you know, there's going to be great disruption when you have an invading army, many of them deserving to give it a chance, but a lot of them are just trying to get on, you know, they're going to be here, and you never know what kind of disruptions we're going to have in the system. So hang on to it, unless I change my mind in the next 5 minutes and ask what you'll take for it.
Children of immigrants, I have to take exception to the characterizations in the invading army. And, if you were in their situation, you'd probably, you know, what are they facing back home except starvation and death? So, giving up everything to go cross to the land of opportunity to work for $2 an hour, that looks good to them. But yeah, I have it here. But you know, sideband never took off on the citizens band like it did on the amateur radio bands. And plus, you've got what, maybe 4 or 5 watts. So I don't know what kind of range you have even on sideband. I suppose you could amplify that, but you know. You know, now you're going to get like the, there was one of those splatter boxes near me, too. The guy who was transmitting on channel 4, 5, 6, and 7 at the same time. So that's, for the most part, it got too much abused. But yeah, it's a Galaxy. I don't have power cable, I don't have microphone, but I assume it was working. And I've got other CB radios, too. I've got the, Cobra 145 GTL, and the thing about those that was neat about them is you could add, there were little tricks you could play with the PLL chip to add additional frequencies.
And, you know, that would be interesting to have in there. Well, you know, sideband did a little more power. You could have more power. I think you could have 13 or 16 watts, PEP, that is.
Power, but in one sideband is 4 times the power. So instead of 4 watts, you can have, you know, whatever. Yeah, you're 12 watts PEP, I think, something like that. If that gets you much more range, I don't know. 11 meters is propagation-wise kind of crappy all pretty much the entire day anyhow. It's not, you know... Well, you know, it goes long on occasion, I would imagine.
It reports that it's really strong in South America. Now, whether those cats down there are running, you know, heaters with their rigs, I don't know. But, if you've got other radios, I would be glad, but you name what you want for it, and I'd be glad to play with it. There's a couple of good, you might be an expert at this, but there's a fella who's actually starting to rebuild these rigs, particularly Galaxies. And I tell you one other thing, you say it does have a mic, right?
Phones, I have no power cables. I mean, they were working at the time. I don't know how long ago that was. It might have been 12 years since the last time I ever tried to use any of them. You know, things do go bad just sitting around. Capacitors particularly go bad. I think it's the electrolytic capacitors especially, they dry out or whatever happens to them. But given a power cable, and I think it's the 4-pin or the 5-pin microphone, you know, I'm sure it can be made to work.
I think a lot of folks ripped off the Galaxy mics because they found out if you just needed a PTT mic, that they really sound good. There's a fella got a new old stock, still in the package, and he added it to his, adapted the plug to a 2-meter rig, I think an ICOM, and it was glorious, the difference in sound, because he was doing AB plug in, plug out. And gosh, the one Galaxy mic was just, it was a big silver one. Now that might describe all of them, but it was a signature mic that came with a certain radio or series of radios, and it is stellar. As long as, you know, it didn't get coffee or, you know, mud or whatever, you know, getting beaten around inside of a trucker's cab, you know, you're just going to, everything's going to break, eventually wear out. But this guy, it was phenomenal. You couldn't say it was hot, because it was loud, but it was so darn clear and crisp. It's like the difference we used to do in PAs, and you mentioned amps. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I need to go pick up an amp that I lent a guy a long time ago that was, I forget the brand right at the moment, but it was made actually for the movie Earthquake. And it was a very sonic amp. It was meant to run 24 hours a day, you know, because they just leave them on in the theaters, but it's set for about 10 years, and I'm a little skittish to plug it in. I'd almost want to Variac it, if that wouldn't hurt it anymore. But, you know, it may be okay, but I'm kind of thinking, like, let that one go. It had a Heel mixer, which was a very good, albeit simple mixer in its day. Later became Allen and Heath Company, which if you know anything about PA stuff, you may. Is a very good, reliable, sonically fantastic medium-priced mixing console. Well, the faders are all gummed up on it just from sitting in the road case for all this time, so who knows what happened to the amp. But anyway, it'd be worth a try, you know. And like I said, maybe I can find a good mic and wire it up, and who knows. I'm certainly not getting enough traffic off the national 2-meter simplex frequency, unless that fella gets up on Calder Mountain, which I understand he's going there today.
So, as for a situation hit the fan radio, I still think I'd probably want 2 meters instead of Citizens Band, simply because I don't know of any Citizens Band repeaters, and I don't think that they're allowed. But, yeah, I have, as I said, I have like 4 of these radios. The, the Cobra 148 GTL was a sideband rig. And if it had certain of them, if you make a switch that grounds pin 10 of the PLL chip, all the frequencies go up by 640 kilohertz. So, you know, I have channel 1 through 40 and high channel 1 through 40. And then there was another switch, if you ground, it creates like 11 channels below channel 1, or 13 channels that appear below channel 1. And those two modifications interact. So you basically have a radio that has like 106 channels. Just by messing with pin 11 and pin 10 of the PLL chip. So I had one radio that I did that to. I didn't use any external switches. I just took some of the more useless ones, like the PA switch or the dimmer switch or whatever, and I wired it to that. And I have another one of those radios where it wasn't me. Somebody did the extended clarifier modification, where the clarifier adjusts the frequency by, like, you know, 10 kilohertz or something at a time.
For folks that have those kind of radios, they got all their private channels. Yeah, that's cool. And I'm sure there's more people than that. But, yeah, you know, talking that, though, one night I was at the... There's still usage out there, and there's still guys using heaters on their rigs, because I was getting blanked out at the QT one night, and I wasn't going to go look around who was talking or anything. I wasn't going to do that, but, man, it was just like Get Smart's cone of silence being dropped on top of me. It was blanking out everything, so I know he had to, or she had to be pushing 500 watts, maybe. I didn't see fluorescent light bulbs. Of course, they don't have those anymore. They're all been replaced with LEDs. But I didn't see fluorescent light bulbs starting to flicker all over the place. But that would have been a sure sign.
about the cone of silence. And there was the portable cone of silence, where you had each person had a little bubble over his head and a little passageway in between of them, the two of them. Yeah, the cone of silence. Let's see, the shoe telephone. Well, we have mobile phones. What else do they have? Yeah, that's the one piece of technology I guess we have now, the shoe phone.
Between that and the original Star Trek communicator, except it had better range and clearer sound.
Phones, I'm sure they emulated that design. Somebody was thinking of the Star Trek communicator when they came up with those Motorola flip phones. Somebody even was making a novelty cell phone that actually kind of looked like it. It looked like the Star Trek communicator. I forget who was making it. Was it a functional mobile phone? Yeah, it might have been.
Bag phones, because they had an honest 3 watts. But they were analog, and of course, it was almost like going back to the 77 Sunset Strip radio that was in Efren Zimbalist's car, or it was like, I'm trying to think of another show, Hawaiian Eye, that I think used, had the very expensive car phones. But anyway, yeah, the Motorola Razr was an excellent phone for phone purposes. It didn't have the QWERTY keyboard like some of the later LGs did, but it was a whole lot more reliable unless you stepped on it. And I had one for a while, which I stepped on. And it still worked. It you couldn't tell. But in fact, it still worked. You didn't really need the screen that much because it wasn't 100% necessary. You just flipped it up and figured out, who it was usually. And in my case, usually a bill collector.
Work. I mean, because the old amps or damps systems, those are gone. So if it's not a pay phone, you might be out of luck. Because I had, I had a bunch of older cell phones that you wouldn't be able to do anything with now. The systems no longer exist.
AT&T GSM, which there was a way to unlock it, but it was probably using 1G and definitely 2G. Now, 2G, I understand, is still out there, although they eliminated 3G. 4G LTE is protected for at least another 7 years, so we're told. That's how my brother communicates, is on 4G LTE. He has to turn 5G regular off with T-Mobile or he gets nothing. But, yeah, it might still work if it was capable of 2G. Now, whether they will allow you to activate it is doubtful. The companies will just look at the IMEI number, MEID, and go like, nah, too old, you need to buy a new one.
You know, as I said, for voice anyway, the CDMA and the GSM phones will still work. GSM is a global standard. That's kind of what the G means. There was an older mobile phone, there was an older standard, which is pretty much gone. The analog system that came out in the early 80s was called AMPS. There was another one called DAMPS, which was digital, often mistakenly called TDMA, is what everybody referred to it as. But those systems are gone, and have been for quite a while. GSM is still around, although in other parts of the world it uses different frequencies, different bands. So if you want a GSM phone that works everywhere, you need to get the quad bander, one of those. Because in the U.S. and everywhere else, it's different GSM bands.
In fact, I think in India, even though they make a lot of phones, or they buy a lot of phones, they're kind of slow rolling out the 5G. 5G has turned out to be a disaster, mostly from the routing of calls. There's nothing really wrong with the frequency, I understand. It's just they don't have the system. It's not set up to properly switch back and forth. I get 5G UC here. In beautiful downtown Joanna, I'm less than 3/4 of a mile from the actual tower. I'm getting upwards of 750 megabytes per second. However, occasionally you'll see the UC for ultra capacity or whatever it stands for. It's UW with Verizon, and then AT&T has another little pop-up addition. But when they go to 5G, I can't do anything. I don't get the net. I can't make a call. If it drops all the way back to 4G LTE, which is happening in Clinton, then I actually get pretty decent speed and I can make phone calls. And I mean, as compared to what 4G LTE data rates used to be of about maybe 10 megabytes per second, I'm getting 160. If the 3/4 of a billion speed is fine, but 160 with a reliable 4G LTE, I ain't got no complaints about that. I can stream 4K video or whatever I want with that, you know, on multiple sets and run everything at all. But, you know, they're coming out with 6G. But I haven't heard anything really positive or negative about that. They're trying it in Korea with Samsung. And of course, LG's out of the phone business now, but some of the other manufacturers are testing there. And it's supposed to give us multi-gigabytes. I just want a phone that works. I want to be able to hear the other person and not drop the call 5 times in a half hour.
For the voice layer as well. So, yeah, because I hear GSM is obsolete as well. That's going away. So I guess now the LTE layer is everything, and the voice and data layer. I haven't heard 6G. I've heard of 5G. 5G is usually the last mile of something like fiber. Like what I have here. I have... I guess it's Ethernet over fiber optic. Usually 5G is for the last mile of that, because it doesn't really have the range. I don't know of any other, there was something called WiMAX for a while that was out there, and that's gone. I'm not really that up on what's going on recently in the mobile phone business.
Part of 3G, I think. Pretty dismal. I mean, you could eventually load a web page. You could probably do online shopping. But generally, it was limited to about 512 kbps. Sometimes it would go up, if you were really close to the tower, to 1.3. But as far as voice and data, it was very reliable. And it had the distance. Now, ironically, 5G... is supposed to be on the 600 and 700 megahertz bands, primarily, which they bought the old, a lot of the analog TV frequencies from VHF were sold to the cell phone companies, which, you know, when we had regular analog TV, you might get a snowy picture, but you got a picture. Now it's feast or famine. It won't lock. And so... the digital television is just a horrendous failure, but it was all designed to make you go to cable and satellite. What you're talking about with the fiber to feeder, I think they call that. They break it down type of multi cable or something. But you got to be within a mile or something. Or UW. But you get incredible speed. You're into that. My poor brother, man, they went to 5G. He had decent signal in the house and everything, and they went to 5G. And he made things a booster T-Mobile used to sell, and they liquidated them all. I'm trying to tell you that, oh, well, you need to get Wi-Fi, and you need to do Wi-Fi calling. Well, shucks, if you don't have broadband, you don't have cable, you know, all you got is HughesNet, you're not going to do that to just get a, make a phone call. So anyway, this thing amplifies that I bought, used to be $600 on the T-Mobile site. They liquidated them, and I bought it for $30, brand new in the box from Amazon, and set it up, and it gets one band, band 4, with a sub-band of 66. Now, for all those numbers, let's just put it this way. He's able to get a signal from a tower that's about 5.4 miles away, and with a window box and then a Wi-Fi router kind of thing you put down somewhere in the house, he's able to make phone calls and get a little bit of data and get text. Though not all at the same time, but it's a stopgap method because T-Mobile swears up and down they're not going to put any more towers in Newberry County, although they took a whole ton of...
Repeater time out, exit. Repeater time out, clear.
I've done it before. I got a timeout timer on this radio I should probably set.
I didn't make your eyes roll back in your head. 5G sucks. It is and not because of the frequency, though. It should, and they actually did this so they could decommission tower sites and therefore didn't have to pay tower dogs to climb them for whatever outrageous amount of money an hour or have to pay for, you know, and especially if they did aviation lights that had, or the FAA was on their behinds. The problem is the utilization of the signal, not the signal itself. It should, in theory, work, but they're switching technology as far as digitizing the old frequencies. Television do not work.
It just has low bad signal to noise. Back when the FCC was evaluating digital television systems, there was two modulation schemes they were studying for transmitting digital TV signals, and essentially they picked the wrong one. Well, not really. They picked the one that had the higher effective radiated power for the amount of power. Because, you know, unlike Europe, America is a fairly spread out country. See, the Europeans have a digital television system that doesn't suck as bad because they're using, you know, different modulation than we are. So, you know, it's with the right antenna, with the right, but you're right, it almost does seem as though, like, they, it almost does seem like as though the cable companies wanted it that way. They wanted a system that would give poor results so they could sell more cable subscriptions.
Except in South Carolina, I can pick up darn near every ETV channel because they bought the best equipment on our nickel. And I can pick up four, sometimes five, identical program ETV channels. 38, which is where that 165 repeater you were on last night is located. That's easy. You can almost pick that up on your dental work. But I'm getting Columbia 35, I'm getting 29 and 49, and sometimes I even get 30 out of Rock Hill. Anywhere that's not over too much over the horizon. But, you know, here I am 37 miles from Spartanburg, and I can never get Channel 7. I can never get Channel 62. But I can get WBT Charlotte, which is 90-some miles further. I get all the Columbia stations. I even get three that are on the same tower, some of which are kind of low down on the stick. The ABC affiliate will load Channel 25, 57, which is the Fox affiliate, and then 63 that recently went omnidirectional, used to be directed just towards Sumter. And so I get those three, but I can't get the big, although it's in the basic same direction, kind of toward the east of Columbia. Anyway, I'm getting channels from there. I'm also getting them from Augusta. Depends on the time of day. By the way, that beep is my temperature warning. This Yazoo is set way too low, and I can't change the options to make it work better or to raise above. It goes off at 85 degrees Fahrenheit. But anyway, that's another side issue there to the discussion.
Channels come in well. 29, 33, 38, 49, 49 and 29 are actually the same frequency. You know, and they all got the same three or four program streams, so you really only need one of them. Let's see, 62 and 7 are on the same frequency, and I have my trouble with those, because they recently, they actually were on channel 7, they moved it to channel 11. Whatever they did, it screwed up propagation even worse. So, 7 and 13, I don't know what channel 13 is on. Those are the two problematic ones. Yeah, there is a there is something on channel 30, but I mean, it never comes in. You know, that's about all I really. You know, that's probably what everyone else has in this area. So I need to put up a slightly better antenna, or maybe just put it up a lot higher.
Well, ironically, that's a weird thing about the height. I had a friend of mine down in Columbia that tried the chimney, and then he tried the fireplace chimney, and then he tried the center chimney, and he finally wound up on an old dish network pole in the yard about 5 feet off the ground. Digital is just weird how it radiates, it propagates, and it's often off-center to what you think it would be. The app will tell you to aim a certain direction, and it may be slightly to the left or right of that. Like I said, I'm completely to the side on this makeshift. Got it out of Mother Earth News magazine about 8 years ago. Digital antenna I got made and still hanging on the side of the house. I put it up higher. It didn't work. I thought maybe it was a down angle or up angle, but I moved it back down to about 15 feet. And I'm able to pick up pretty good now. During the wintertime, I can pick up Greenville most mornings, although in the middle of the day, I can't pick it up. It's almost like shortwave propagation. Certain times, it just doesn't work, and ideally, it wouldn't be that. But getting back to the conspiracy theory, make them by cable, satellite, or whatever, it generally only has a solid range of maybe 25 miles. If you get anything further than that, like me getting Columbia, while they have a more omnidirectional pattern, if they change to a directional pattern, I'd be SOL, to be, if we could say that, the acronym for shame out of luck. But anyway, or so out of luck. But anyway, it's just a weird signal, and sometimes you would think being up real high, it would be better.
It's not tolerant of low signal to noise. That's why most of the broadcasters had to increase their power from a lot of power to an ungodly amount of power. And it's not real tolerant of multipath, which, you know, if you're near a city or you're near mountains, you've got nothing but multipath distortion. Some ways I'd almost, sometimes I almost agree. I'd rather have a snowy analog signal than have a nothing digital signal. But, you know, on the whole, it's definitely an improvement.
Good. But, you know, it really, and it looks so better than a rebroadcast broadcast signal on the aforementioned DirecTV or otherwise. But talking about how you talking about WUNC, I get them better. I used to get it all the time before I even got 29 and 49. And at least they have some different stream of pattern. But here you go, Asheville. Somebody tells me it's on Mount Pisgah, but I may be wrong. But I get that, but can't get my Greenville and Spartanburg stations. You say, well, elevation and all, but then you know, elevation doesn't matter. I've actually, on a weird skip, picked up Goonsboro. Yeah, that's what I call Greensboro. No offense to anyone that got kinfolk that lives there, but I've got a reason to say that. But anyway, I picked up Channel 2 out of there. But I regularly get 6, but I never can get 12. And 12 is actually in North Augusta, up on a high bluff, before you descend down to cross the Savannah River and go into Augusta. Can't get it at all. A lot of it has to do with patterns of the stations. And some of them are omni, and some of them are specifically one-way, as was the 63, which was just designed for Sumter. Well, they found out Sumter wasn't much of a market, and Columbia would much rather... since you're on the same stick, sharing an antenna, that you can, include Columbia. And then all of a sudden, poof, I start getting it, and it's one of my most consistent channels, albeit even nautically or geographically 80-some plus miles away. But yet my close stuff ain't worth a diddly darn.
Sure why that would be, unless you're so close that you're actually overdriving the receiver, which, you know, I tend to doubt. The receivers in these, the tuning section of the of most televisions was never too good in the first place. I've had more trouble with the closer stations for some reason, and logically I'm trying to figure out why that is.
Fox Carolina, I get very seldom. It has to be a maelstrom outside for me to lose 21. I get 57 out of Columbia, which is their Fox affiliate. And, you know, I get them, but, you know, why am I getting WBT Charlotte? Sometimes I get channel 47 in Charlotte. But I get 40, which doesn't have really anything on it anymore, but I get that consistently. So it doesn't make any difference. By the way, I picked up UNC. I made my brother an antenna on a with some number 8, much cheaper ground wire. I got it at Lowe's than number 6. It's a third the price. But it's still pretty heavy duty without being unmanageable. I made 4 bow ties, and on a 2x3x8 that I happen to have laying around. And I said, Bo, you can cut this off later on when you want to mount it, but, you know, put it in a flower pot and see what you can get, because DirecTV, rather, cut off all his locals, and they wanted to rewire and everything. They said, oh, there'll be no more charge to get your locals back, except for installation, which is up to the installer. So he went, I'll find me an outdoor antenna. So I said, well, let me make you one, because the ones that stick on the windows are not going to work where you are in rural Newberry. It's just not going to pick up. You'll probably get channel 38 feet forward, because he only watches Austin City Limits once in a while on ETV, and that's his limit. But he just wanted to get the weather and stuff, so I made him this thing on this 2x3x8. I had some of them laying around. And wired it all up, put the little baling on it, and got it some coax. And I said, this is going to be better than anything else. So I actually had a small television, and I put it on a little stand, and I plugged it into TV, and I put this thing just leaning up against the house. And I picked up Greenville, blocked by the house, and actually UNC Asheville, the same way. And a couple of course, 38 was easy. A piece of cake, but out of Greenwood. But I got Columbia channels, and I'm only like 8 foot off the ground and just leaning up against the house, blocked by the house. And, oh, yeah, I got channel 4. And I'm 8 feet off the ground at an angle. So not vertical, not horizontal, just there. So I thought, well, that's a pretty darn good antenna. He's just hadn't gotten the cold weather. He was going to hook it up. But now he's talking about getting another TV because just for over the air to play with. So I said, okay. So I'm looking for him. There's plenty of 32-inch screens. Vizios and LGs and out there for $20 on Facebook Marketplace, and I'll just get him another one.
Repeater time out. Exit. Repeater time out. Clear.
If that Yaesu has a timeout timer, you should set that. We probably both should. You killed the repeater again, then.
Televisions. He prefers, that's what he wants, and so I'm going to buy him a little $20 TV. There's a buku of them on Craigslist. I know, Craigslist, you got to be careful, but Facebook Marketplace. As far as killing the repeater, sometimes you just need to kill them things because they need killing. I heard that's a law in Texas, that if you, I heard a comedian one time say, back when you could still be funny, that in Texas, you could shoot somebody, especially only if they deserved it, and you got one per life. So if you could prove to the judge that they needed killing, and say, all right, that's your time, but don't you do it again.
Well, as appalling as that might be, there's actually some, yeah, maybe that would be a good thing. There's always that one person in you meet during your life who really, really, really deserved it. But I mean, if you only get one, you know, you got to make sure it's the right one.
An ex-con for a neighbor who was a total DA in all respects, and you know, I'm not putting him down. Everybody makes mistakes, but he was still in the same business. He was dealing and all. But anyway, he was just a pain in it. A PETA neighbor. He would always complain if the train came by and one of the dogs went, ooh, like dogs do. Oh, he'd be over here banging on my door. And he'd gotten run off, I understand, for trying the same thing in a mill village up in Clinton. They didn't cotton to him at all. So he'd come down and he decided he'd bully somebody. Well, for the next 8 years, actually, I turned him in one time. I let it drop this time. For at 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and I see this character standing in the middle of the road with a rifle-looking device. Come to find out it was a pellet gun. And he was shooting at the neighbor's cats in the neighbor's yards because that's what got his jollies. So I called the law on him. And they come down the street, and they hit him with the light. And when I ask, what in the heck are you doing on a Sunday morning with a rifle? And you should be lucky that you don't get shot as some crazy, which he was, but just walking around with a firearm. They would be for several years after that. The guy went out of his way to harass me, tailgated. Just, it was almost like a redneck from Hades scenario. We never really did anything, but just bothered the heck out of him. And one time we did catch him. He was like, knew I was in a McDonald's, and he just kept riding around and around and around and around and around the parking lot until actually McDonald's called, and the cops came down and asked him, what is your problem? They gave him a sobriety test, and he passed that, so they let him go. But anyway, he probably would have been falling in that category, except I would want the slug back because he wasn't even worth the ammunition. And eventually, when we changed sheriffs, and I let it drop, rid of wrestling Ricky Chastain here and got Sheriff Don, which is not everybody's favorite, but he's at least not caused too much harm. All of a sudden, Richard stopped stuff. Somebody came out and talked to him, and he moved out of the county and is now down in Lexington County. They don't want to put up with his foolishness no more. But anyway, I digress. Hey, he wouldn't have been worth the bullet.
Well, wait. He was the one with the pellet gun shooting at the neighbor's cat. Yeah, you know, don't come shooting at my cats. I mean, there's too many of them are running around here, but, you know, don't take... By the way, animal cruelty is one of the signs of... If you see a kid who's torturing the dog or the cat, you know, that's time for the early diversion program, because that kid's going to grow up to be, you know... Half the violent criminals in jail, I think, are there, you know, at one time or another were that way. That's one of the signs of sociopathy, is torturing small critters.
Somebody kind of has this anti-hero worship of Bonnie and Clyde, but that was what Clyde did when he was young. And somebody should have scruffed him up and put him in the institution. Although the asylum was a bad place, that's where you put bad people. You had to protect society and eventually their own selves. So, you know, I had that thing I went on about on the repeater the other night about down in Newberry, about leaving the Rottweiler dog out. And, you know, without even any shade, the dog had shade and then they cut the tree down and, you know, and Newberry just didn't want to do anything about it. They didn't want to talk. I got Channel 10 involved, even though I can't watch them. In fact, I need to call the guy back today because they're going to do an FOI on Newberry County. The guy left the dog out there with a house about the size of a Cocker Spaniel. And we think that guy either just got rid of the dog, the pound won't divulge if they picked it up, even though they've had at least a half dozen calls by other people than us about this dog, because it was clearly visible from the road. And we're just thinking that they just told the guy to take the dog and put it behind a house or get rid of it. So I don't know if it survived or not. I know I even provided for the outdoor cat. It's kind of a walk-on. I don't know where he came from, but I saw him Friday. So I put him a little doghouse out there and covered it up and put some food and water. He was in and out of it. So, you know, maybe I did that much. I'm not going to embrace him, but, you know, try to tame him, make another one. But I'm not about cruelty, you know. And I would never harm an animal unless it was harming me for no reason. You know, if it was rabid or I was just sitting there and an animal came up and attacked.
Unless you're going to eat it or unless it's attacking you, leave the critters alone. But yeah, you know, when I was younger, I mean, still in grade school maybe, I saw quite a few kids that were like that, and I sometimes, you know, they would go out of their way to kick the dog or kick the cat or whatever, and I sometimes wonder what became of some of them.
Abuse animals generally might end up in jail.
But, you know, where the criminals are coming now is down in Newberry County. It makes me wonder why they wouldn't have just confiscated the dog so they wouldn't have to hear and rehome it or whatever, transfer it to another pound. They go on about their special cleaned pound, but yet they won't go out there and say, we've had enough complaints about this. The dog does not have shelter. It's laying in the mud. Another thing I can think is this is a county employee or someone who knows somebody in the county. This is a definite cover-up. And that's kind of what happened with Channel 10. They've kind of got into a Watergate, Bernstein mode here, to use an example. So, going to kind of turn the heat. Foster's been sheriff down there for a long time. And he's big about getting on TV for the big collars. But when it comes to, you know, the big drug cases or the big murder case, but he doesn't do too much. And I got an attitude from his boys Friday night just asking about it. because Lexington County had told me, their authorities got involved, and advised me to, if the animal control's not doing their job, call the sheriff, and the sheriff's not doing the job, then get back with Lexington County, which I may do today before they close, or either tomorrow, and we'll accelerate this thing to the state level, because we need to make an example in this particular case. And wouldn't it be fascinating if we found out this was a government employee or someone down at the, or whatever municipality, if it was particularly for Newberry, and what if it was somebody like a prison guard at their jail? You know, that would really bring, open a lot of eyes.
Mission out there that wanted to chime in. The sheriff sounds like, this was years ago. Broward County, Florida, there was a sheriff by the name of Nick Navarro, who was, he was all about basically, we used to call him Sheriff Showboat, because that's all he was ever concerned about, was getting his face in the paper or on television, you know, making a big stink of, some pot bust or coke bust or whatever that he was so proud of or whatever. During a time where you had, you know, where the rising crime rate, generally, you know, that's all he would concern himself with is the occasional high-profile case. I could get my face plastered in the paper. Let me drop. I think there was even, he got so obsessed with this idea of taking down these drug cases, for a while the Broward County Sheriff's Office was actually making crack. They would take all the cocaine they confiscated and make, however you make it, melt it down and add baking soda or something, making little crack rocks. To use in all these buy and bust type of things. But, you know, call about a real crime, like an auto theft or a burglary, or even an assault, domestic assault, whatever. Yeah, sorry, nobody home. That's why I was sad to see our local police department eventually got swallowed up by Broward Sheriff's Office. You know, we no longer had the locals, we had the county idiots. It was the same people, they just switched agencies. But that's when their effectiveness really went to hell as far as actually doing anything.
For QM.
Much worse. KD4SRRID. He was throwing on, we called going into bodybuilding, and he'd put on amateur wrestling shows, and he had his straight street pool hall for youth next door to the sheriff department, and he had his haunted jail. And this was all the while he was not once but twice philandering with his one of his deputies, and I think got her in a family way at least once, and took her to get an abortion in a car, in one of the patrol cars or a unmarked car. But it was, the fact is, when it came to real crime, you couldn't find him. You mentioned the break-in. Someone had their boat stolen. They had witnesses. His guys didn't even want to hear it. They didn't write it up because, you see, it was hard to get an incident report. It was hard to get a prosecution because the prosecutor couldn't bring a case because his guys didn't document it. And what wasn't written down, obviously, quote-unquote, didn't happen. This means it didn't look into the crime report. Well, insurance companies started raising people's rates because they were making claims for crime. People say, I can't get a police report, or it's an incomplete police report. Well, we got rid of him, and he tried again, and it was sad that 2,500 people in the county thought he was a cool sheriff, and that's what sheriffs do, is put on wrestling shows and haunted jails. But let me let it drop for a second.
KY4QN.
We didn't hire him for that. And he saw an immediate need some people kind of criticize going a little overboard on the animal thing, but it wasn't being done at all. And, I mean, they just weren't given the power to the existing animal control officer to do it, so he got it deputized. And they've been able to make some big cases on that. So, and then they find out there's other problems going on, too. You find the child neglect and abuse and usually drug operations, too.